everyone on written down. And Nicola, if you could just let me know if I've missed anyone off.
All right, never mind.
But good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's RAP implementation call on Monday, the 4th of October, we have Greg Aaron, Mike O'Connor, Joy White, Fred Falman, Barry Cobb, Elisa Cooper. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Gisela Gruber-White. I'm not sure if Margie's joined yet. And I don't have any apologies for today's call. If I could just remind everyone, please, to state their names when speaking. Thank you. Over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Gisela, and thanks, Gisela and Marika, for jumping on this call before your other meetings and suffering the jet lag to boot. I think today's agenda is pretty straightforward. We're going to just continue on with the conversation that we started last week about the matrix. Greg, did you have a chance to listen to the MP3, or do you want me to sort of spin through the highlights of the call?
I did listen to the MP3, thank you.
Okay.
I didn't have many questions. I think it ended up in a spot that everybody seemed happy with. There were two main issues, as I saw it, and let me know if this is correct. One was a discussion about the malicious use, and the place where we ended up was a non-PDP working group. Is that correct?
Yeah. Actually, Marika sent us a clarifying email to the list, which I have open in front of me. And that's right. Is that the way we finessed the advisory group problem was to call it a non-PDP working group. So we're sort of inventing a new term here. Chuck, you've got your hand up. You want to chime in on this?
Sure. What's a non-PDP working group?
This is Marika. If I can jump in, Mikey, I lost my connectivity to the Adobe Connect, so I can't raise my hand.
Okay.
But maybe just to clarify, it's just a working group, basically. I think we added a non-PDP working group just to clarify for this discussion that we're not talking about a PDP here, but it would be a normal working group, basically, as we've had many working groups not doing PDPs. So I think we've been using the RAP working group from time to time as well as a non-PDP working group. So it's not an official term. It's more as a clarification to make sure that people understand that it's not a PDP working group as such.
Well, it sounds like there's some confusion here. Are you suggesting then it's not a policy development working group in the sense of developing consensus policy? Is that what is trying to be said here?
Correct.
Well, PDPs don't have to result in consensus policy.
Correct. We did discuss that on the last call, but we also highlighted that in the discussions that we had on the Registration Abuse Policies Group, that there actually was this discussion, should this be a PDP or shouldn't it be a PDP? And if I remember correctly, I think the agreement in the end was to not go through a PDP process but try an alternative route, as most viewed it as more effective. And I think some opposed the view of going through the PDP as, you know, a potential outcome still might be a consensus policy. So we did have that debate whether, you know, whether to go through a PDP or not, also noting that, you know, PDP indeed as an outcome doesn't need to have consensus policies, but maybe that needs some further discussion in this group. And I think, you know, Greg wasn't on the call last time, so he might have some recollection as well of the discussion that the working group had on that particular issue.
Yeah, and in fact, Greg has.
I think that's going to create some confusion, but so you're suggesting that you don't follow this group wouldn't follow the PDP procedures then?
The working group specifically said this isn't a candidate for consensus policy making, and there were several reasons for that. One of which is that fighting internet crime and so forth isn't really within ICANN's remit. So the goal was not to make sure that this did not lead to binding policy, because it didn't seem relevant, and the group decided that that was the best way to go forward. So, Chuck, you could use an existing process, and I think what the group wanted was, it was fairly straightforward. Let's get a group together. Anyone can join. Let's have a working group to write best practices, which people can avail themselves of. You could put it through public comment. All that's fine. But just make sure that the endpoint is the one that's desired.
Yeah, and by the way, that part's okay. But I'm not understanding why you don't want it to be a PDP. You can make very clear in the charter that this will not result in a consensus policy. This is the task is to develop best practices.
Yeah, I think the part that people are getting hung up on is when you have a PDP, you need to have an issues report. And in this case, we don't need it because we're probably, I think it might just be extraneous. And then I think people, when they hear PDP, they think policy can come out the other end. But what you're saying is the PDP is a process, and it can go many places. And in this case, we just need to indicate what that endpoint is.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. And of course, the PDP, and of course, it's still a work in progress, the revised one, but and the working group model still a work in progress. But I would assume that you're okay with following the procedures that are part of that, even though it won't result in consensus policy. Otherwise, you have to reinvent procedures and so forth.
Right.
I think probably.
Chuck, this is Greg. Does the PDP require an issues report?
It does. But the issues report, I don't think, you know, I haven't looked at the latest iteration. Marika's probably more familiar with it than I am, as are some of you. The in terms of the work of the PDP process that's being proposed as revised, certainly the one that's in place now does. I think the new one will as well. But that issues report doesn't have to be complicated. If it's already well-defined, I wouldn't be intimidated by an issues report. Do you agree with that, Marika?
This is Marika. Yes, that's correct. I think an issues report could be very straightforward. But you know, just to point out, I think as well, the Registration of Use Policies Working Group did follow the PDP, you know, the broad PDP rules, you know, even though it wasn't a PDP working group. So and a working group, nothing is preventing a working group to follow a certain process if they decide so, or indeed if it's included in their charter. So I think both options there are flexible. And as you said, Chuck, the current PDP process is less flexible, and hopefully the new one will be where, you know, there might be more room to add certain stages or not, depending on what is needed or conduct additional research. So, but the current PDP, I think most of you have gone through it. You know, we followed a similar model in the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group. So there is less flexibility as such at this stage, especially when it comes to timelines. Although we've tried to be flexible about it, as the ones as written in the bylaws are not. Not workable, basically.
Yeah, don't get hung up on the current rigidity of the existing PDP that's in the bylaws. The council hasn't been hung up on that for several years now because it's just totally unworkable. There's you know, we've had to ignore the timelines because I don't think we've ever met them, and so forth. So certainly don't let the current PDP be seem like a roadblock. If we wouldn't have been able to get anything accomplished in the GNSO if we did that.
Chuck, this is Mikey. I think we're all pretty much on the same page. We just didn't know what to call it. Barry raised a pretty good point in the chat, which is that what we didn't want to do was call it something that would get people concerned that we were launching a policy, you know, a consensus policy process when, in fact, what we're trying to do is best practices.
Yeah, why don't you call it a best practices BDP?
Well, I was wondering if we could call it a best practices working group, because that way we duck the P policy in PDP. Would that work?
Well, it might. I think as this moves upline, it's going to create some confusion. That's fine if you want to call it that, but we don't need to be afraid of a PDP. PDPs don't all. It's understood that best practices can come out of a PDP. So the thing of it is that ultimately there's going to be this PDP approved, and that's the processes that would be followed as applicable for this work.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't need to spend any more time on this, but what we're trying to accomplish is all fine. Okay?
Yeah. I think that where we're at is we're all in the same place, and I think I may have caused this trouble by throwing in advisory group, which took us way off into the weeds. So we've gotten rid of that, and if it's okay with the rest of the group, I'm okay with calling it a PDP or even a best practices PDP. What do other folks think of that?
This is Greg. I think that's fine, but we'll just need to be very clear to the council all the things we discussed with our. We're going to call it a PDP because that's the process we have. We'll slot it into that process, but we have a very specific endpoint in mind.
Yeah, I think that works. And the thing of it is that what you're going to follow in terms of rules and procedure are going to be outlined in the PDP, even though it's not resulting in policy recommendations that can be enforced.
Okay. Mikey, there was one other thing that came up yesterday. There was also discussion of the cyber squatting, and it didn't seem like there was the group arrived at an end point. Some people wanted another pre-PDP working group. Other people thought that the next step would be initial report. So where are we on that?
This is Mikey. I think we're in the exact spot you've described. We had a pretty extensive conversation about this, and the main thrust of the conversation was that this particular one has so many different facets and issues to it that we might want to have something not unlike the IRTP working group. I think it was the drafting team. Anyway,
correct.
there was a gang that got together to sort of map out the course for IRTP before launching the actual PDPs. And I think that where we wound up was that we felt that a sort of road mapping exercise would be a good idea on this one, since it's so big and so complicated.
Did that happen before or after the issues report came out?
Our preference was to have it come out before.
Well, I was talking about the.
Oh, you mean IRTP?
I'm asking you and also Chuck about how these things are done. Or how they've been done in the past, if it's been useful. I mean, IRTP ended up with two parts, or I guess.
Four. Five.
Did you do an issues report first?
Five.
The issues report actually goes even before that drafting team, as I recall. I think because there was a... before the drafting team broke it into a bunch of chunks, There was a PDP led by Ross Rader that prioritized a bunch of things.
Mikey, I'm not sure whether that was a PDP. I'm sure Chuck might know, because I looked at some of the reports and I don't recall that was a PDP. I do think they had several comment periods, but I think it was more a review.
I think the issues report preceded even that. that's where I was headed, is that the issues report was, I don't know, back in the 18th century sometime. It was really a long time ago.
But I'm not sure whether it was an issues report, because there was a staff report, but I don't think it was called an issues report. Because I went through all the history for the issues report I did on the IRTB A and B, so I looked through all the previous documents, and there were several reports and documents, but I don't think they were the typical PDP documents as an initial report, issues report. I think, you know, there was, as I said, a staff report which basically summarized the comments received from the community on, you know, which issues they felt were needed and needed for clarification or improvement. And then staff added as well a number of issues that they had encountered as part of their implementation of the policy. And that was, I think, taken then by the group that Ross Rader led to prioritize and basically recommend to the council, look, these are the different buckets that we recommend PDPs on.
Yeah, that's right. So in answer to your question, Greg, there were issues reports, real true issues reports written after that road mapping exercise was completed at the beginning of each of the resulting PDPs.
Yeah, and Chuck, this is Greg, one of my questions is, how can we section it out if we haven't had a deeper look at what all the issues are? I mean, the RAP said, okay, here are some of the issues involved, and outlined some things like, well, we've got maybe some differences between the policy and the implementation. There's a laundry list of all the things that people have raised over the years.
Well, first of all, as probably all of you know, NSO has used drafting teams liberally. we've used them to develop charters. We do draft statements to do a variety of things. And my understanding is the new PDP process will provide more specifically for things like that, even though it's not in the existing PDP. So it's perfectly fine to recommend a drafting team to do some work before the official PDP starts. I think what I've seen of the recommendations of the revised PDP, it's going to, in fact, encourage things like that to make sure research and other things are done in advance so that when you actually start the PDP, they can really get to work on the policy development or best practices development or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Yes, I guess yes and no. In the end, our goal is to give the council a hint about what should happen next. And so based upon process and all the improvements that are happening, what are our options? Do we give the council two options, or do we recommend one? And if so, what is it?
Okay, bring up a more general observation. I don't know if it'll help or not, but let me do that. Now, let me preface all of that by apologizing for not being able to consistently participate in this meeting, but I have standing meetings every Monday, two of them actually, that conflict with this meeting, and it's been pretty important that I be involved in those. So I'm not up to speed like the rest of you in all that you've been doing, but as I've been trying to watch it, I'm wondering whether all the focus on next steps on an item-by-item basis is, I think, probably very helpful, but there's a higher level that I hope you haven't forgotten in terms of a plan for the council to consider. I assume all of you were probably involved in the working group that made the recommendations.
No.
Okay. Well, the working group made a whole bunch of recommendations. And there's no way that very many, if any, of those are going to be able to be done in parallel. there just aren't resources to do that, not staff resources, not community resources, people to work on it. And so the first thing that the council really needs is a higher level plan. Okay, we've got all this list of things. You know, is there one that maybe should be tackled first? What kind of order, if they all have to be done sequentially, would they follow? Some guidance like that kind of a overall plan is the first need, I think, that the council needs. Now, you guys seem to be in a detail level. Okay, for each one of these, what are the steps that need to be followed? And that can be very helpful down the road, but the higher priority, in my view, is, okay, how does the GNSO tackle all of these things in a meaningful way? Can you come up with a high-level plan as a way to approach these? Because there's no way very many of them, if any, can be done in parallel. They're going to have to be sequenced.
This is Mikey.
Go ahead, Mikey.
Well, let me dive in, because it's, you know, this is mostly my creation, and you know, you're right, I may have taken us off into the weeds, but here's where I was headed with this when I put it together, is that what we're hoping is that we'll find that there are some things that are big and difficult and other things that are small and easy, and that we might be able to take the small and easy things, otherwise known as low-hanging fruit, and sort of hand them off to the council and say, look, here are a bunch of things that you can probably do that don't take a whole lot of resources, and in some cases don't require council resources much at all, things like sending a letter to the compliance folks and stuff like that. And so,
and that's okay, Mikey. That's good. That fits into what I was saying. So
yeah, and so where we...
Where you're going, as long as your ultimate objective is this overall...
Yeah.
Suggested plan, and the details that you're working on are being examined to help you do that, then
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, and I think that where things got a little bit into the weeds, unfortunately, of course, we're taking on the two toughest ones first, and I think once we get a little further down the list, it's going to be easier, partly because we will have resolved some of these questions, but partly also because the direction is clearer. But you know, it's clear that, you know, the first two are big. You know, the first one is very big and very difficult and takes lots of resources. If you look at the next one in the spreadsheet, it looks like we're thinking that it's less of a resource, and then the third one, starting on line 3 on Marika's thing on Adobe Connect, is really easy. And so our goal really is to get to that sequenced list with as much dispatch as possible, but when we exploded it into this detailed spreadsheet, we sort of uncovered a few issues that I
okay.
think we're pretty close to resolving, and then I think
that sounds good. And thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah, Greg, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Chuck. We're working towards what you said, which is really important. We're ranking them. I mean, we know what the level of consensus was in the RAP. We're also figuring out the level of effort involved in each step, and then we're also trying to come to consensus in our little group here about which ones should basically come first, and we'll be able to communicate that to the council pretty clearly. And it may happen that some of these are really easy and can proceed in parallel, and then the council's going to have to look at the rest and say, which one do we choose? So I think we'll be okay, but thank you for reminding us about the clarity we need to provide.
Okay, so back to the let's try and nail down this one on cyber squatting. So I think that it's safe to say that we're going to call it a PDP. We're not going to get ourselves off in the weeds with that advisory group stuff anymore. And the conversation on the very next step could be simple as saying request a drafting team to develop a roadmap. That's sort of where we wound up on that one. Not hearing any huge cries of anguish. Why don't we call it that for now? And
hey, Mike, it isn't fine. Well, I guess I'm just kind of trying to figure out what when you say get a drafting team. Is this drafting team just going to try to figure out whether we need to split it up into different sections, a la IRTP, or how? What is your thought on what the drafting team is going to do?
Exactly that, Faisal. The thought on the last call was that this first one is a really big, really broad, really complicated project, if you just look sideways in the list there, and that it could probably benefit a lot from some planning work before launching PDP, because we may well find that it needs to be divided into some chunks. And so I think especially Marika was sort of throwing her hand up and saying, you know, I would really like some spade work done before the football comes over the transom and I have to write an issues report. And we agreed that that was a good idea. So that was sort of where we were headed, was you know, precisely what you said, just a planning exercise to make sure that it's chunked the right way.
That's perfect. Thanks.
Okay. See, underneath that, maybe we do the same thing for malicious use. In the next step, we say in our little summary that's on the screen in front of you, I threw all the choices up there, which ranged from an initial report, launching an advisory group, or a drafting team, but maybe we do the same thing on that and say that we put together a drafting team as the next step on that PDP as well. How does that suit people? Or should we just go straight into an initial report on that one?
Issues report.
Issues report. Blah, blah, blah. Sorry about that. It's a typo that I'm reading off my own sheet. Sorry. Drafting team going once? We'll call it a drafting team, pre-issues report drafting team. Okay. Let's stick with the rest of the rows there, and you'll see that in both of these we're fairly high levels of consensus, but if we go up to the resources required one for cyber squatting, see how there's a question mark after high? If you then go to the resources, it's actually better for you if you have the actual spreadsheet in front of you, because then you can go to the tab for resources and see that almost all of us thought that was high. The only person who thought that that was not going to be a high resource consumer was Barry. And so, Barry, if you like, you can try to persuade us that this is really a medium, but if you feel like high is okay, we could make it consensus on high. How do you feel about that? Move forward, he says. All right, so we'll call this one high. If we go down a row, and just to step back and give you sort of a process note, my goal here is to try and iron out the ambiguities in the non-sequence part of this chart, so that then we can take another pass. We did a pass at the sequencing, and we were sort of all over the map. And I think it's useful to sort of iron this other stuff out, find it, any areas where we don't have, you know, where we have a split opinion, get that squared away, and then redo the sequence, because I think our information will be a lot better. And I bet our sequence tends a lot more towards consensus after we do that. So that's why I'm breezing through this. I think the way that I teed this up in the agenda for the last call was that if you look at the row for malicious use, I put medium in there with a question mark in lots of places. And if anybody feels otherwise, this would be a good time to throw your hand up and say, no, I don't think it's medium. I think it's low, or I think it's high. And if you're okay with it, even though you put something else in your answer there, we'll just proceed with mediums until, you know, this is just the chance to do that consensus thing where if you're out of sync with what I perceive to be the flow of things, we have to change our minds. Greg, go ahead.
Okay, so you want us to comment on malicious use?
Yeah.
Complexity? Okay. I mean, I could call it medium. I had originally ranked it low. One of the reasons is that drafts and versions of best practices actually are already out there. For example, the APWG already has written best practices for registrars for phishing. Today I'm at the MOG meeting. That's the Messaging Anti-Abuse Working Group, which is the main anti-spam organization, and they've got some best practices for abuse desk. And some of the registrars are willing to share their internal practices also. So we're not starting from scratch probably in this effort. If we have to do it through the PDP, that means there is a certain amount of bureaucracy involved, I guess, so maybe that's a medium. But I don't think it's a high. Fortunately, there's some stuff we can go on. That's all.
Yeah, and I think that if we had done this process of assembling a bunch of best practices that already exist from other places before, I'd probably be more comfortable with low. I have a feeling that this first time through this is going to be a little complicated as we sort of learn how, but I agree with you on that. Chuck, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry for interrupting the flow, but if there are no objections, I'm going to drop off and get to another call. Certainly, if there's any questions you have of me before I jump off, I'd be glad to answer them. And my compliments to all the good work that's going on. It's going to be very helpful to the broader GNSO community for what you guys are doing.
Cool. Well, thanks for joining us, Chuck. It was really helpful to have you on the call this morning to iron out those...
Okay, and don't hesitate to hit me up if I can be of help. I will have a conflict, pretty much two conflicts every Monday morning, so ask me if you need my specific assistance. So.
Okay. Terrific.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thanks again, Chuck.
Bye.
Thank you, Chuck.
Barry, you were on the queue, but you dropped off. Did I say what you were saying, which is... first time through is complicated, and that's why.
This is Barry. Thanks, Mikey. It's pretty much the same thing, and the only other thing that I was going to mention about this, I know you didn't want to really bring in the prioritization column in this part of the discussion yet, but it does have bearing as to the resources required, and you touched on it perfectly, is that we've never really done this before, so we're kind of in uncharted territory. But, I just want to draw attention that this little sub-working group here that's determining this plan, the kind of our average number is showing that malicious use is going to be probably first or second or third in what we put forward as a recommendation for the order in which we execute some of these recommendations. So, I'm really kind of cautious about this best practices for this recommendation, and it looks like that the group is waiting the fact that this is going to be one of the first few that we start on. So in terms of looking at the overall resources, I do think that it is going to be higher than probably what we're thinking about. So I'll just leave it there. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I think that's, and again, as Chuck said, you know, we don't have to nail these all the way down, but I think it's really helpful to get a sense and have this kind of conversation about these, because that's when it does feed into the sequencing. So, Greg, if you're okay, I'll erase the question mark behind the medium, and I'll put a parenthetical in there that the reasons why we think it's medium is because we're doing it for the first time, but we are also assembling best practices that all, in many cases, documenting this for the report.
That's the kind of note that we should put in our letter that accompanies
yeah.
this spreadsheet
yeah.
when we send it up to the council. Yeah.
That's why I'm typing it in now, just so we don't forget it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So, I think that. I love this kind of discussion because I think it really gives a lot of good texture to our report. So are there any other issues that people have before I erase the question marks between the mediums on the rest of this row? Okay, so I think we're going to go with medium, medium, medium. We're going to call it a PDP. To develop non-binding best practices. And we're going to say that the next step is a pre-issues report drafting group. And then we get to dependencies. Oh, actually, we've got dependencies on the first two. And I think we should, let's stick with this one, but then we'll run back up to the first one. In the dependencies, several ideas popped out. One was to say, should we implement this prior to the new GTLD rollout? Should we make it dependent on participation from appropriate stakeholders? I thought those were both really interesting ideas. I can't remember who put them forward, but why don't we talk about that? Because I thought they were pretty neat ideas. What do people think about those? Use my godlike powers and put Chuck's hand down. Again. Any objections to either of those? Oh, why don't we leave them in? Oh, Barry, go ahead.
This is Barry. Thanks, Mikey. I think I was the one that had mentioned that a dependency was participation from the appropriate stakeholders, and you know, I guess it's a question. Maybe you can shed light on this, Greg. Do you, in terms of us developing the best practices or taking what has already been created within internal registrars and sharing them with other registrars? I mean, if you had a white. And I hate to ask this question right now, but again, I'm really stuck on this best practices thing. If you had a clean whiteboard right now, you know, what do you envision this best practices team looking like and consisting of? Is it your impression that it would just be a number of registrars coming together and saying, well, this is what we did to counter this, and this is what we did to counter that? And coming up with a best practices list, and that just gets disseminated among the registrars, or is there really going to be participation from non-contracted parties that help define this, some of these best practices, law enforcement, and some other things? And anyway, that's kind of why I put participation from the appropriate stakeholders down as a dependency.
My impression, which is based upon the RAP discussions from months back, is that, first of all, any working group we're going to do is going to be open participation, right? So it's not just registrars and registries. And I recall that people like Rod Rasmussen from Internet Identity was very interested in participating in this group. You know, he's a security expert who is, you know, with an independent company that's not ICANN contracted. And there are, I know that there are people like Jose Savour who's engaged in MOG and was on our Fast Flux working group who would probably be very interested. So I think it's open, and we should encourage people from various backgrounds who have some expertise. I think what you're kind of hung up on, Barry, is something you mentioned in the last call, which is, what happens with these best practices? Is it worthwhile? And I think the answer is definitely yes. One of the things that we talked about is how the new TLAs are going to come along. And during the process, there was that overarching issue of malicious conduct. You know, what's going to happen? Are criminals going to start using new TLDs, those kinds of problems? I personally think that this is a big and important educational exercise. You have new TLD operators coming in. That might also be some registrars coming in as well to the community, and they need to understand what they're in for. Now, the RAP also discussed how one-size-fits-all processes or practices aren't always applicable. Now, like an STLD always has some different issues than an open GTLD. Now, a registrar like Mark Monitor has a certain clientele and business model that's going to be very different from, say, another registrar, and they're going to have a lot of different problems. Best practices, as we've discussed, are there to be adapted according to the user's needs. And
Hey, I'm having a hard time hearing you. I don't know if you're...
Yeah, I'm sorry, Greg. You're on a cell phone or a wireless phone, you're getting pretty broken up here. I was hoping to get through this comment before jumping in.
Sorry.
It did start.
Sorry. I'm going to turn off my earbud. Is that better?
You answered my question, Greg, for the most part. So... I think I have a better idea about that. And I just say one other thing about dependencies that I'm still kind of hung up on is that we do have another meta issue recommendation about how the GNSO should look at dissemination of best practices. And oddly enough, our sequencing is way further down than the malicious use one. So it's, in some respects, kind of the cart before the horse, and or we decide to use this malicious use of domain names best practices as kind of our trial and our you know, let's just see how this thing works, and then we'll work, and then we'll come back and maybe try to formalize the best practices recommendation as well. And the only other thing I'm just going to say about this is, you know, I guess I am kind of happy that it is going to follow a PDP, because my gut tells me that there's such importance around this topic, and that there are a number of stakeholders in the community that are very interested in this topic, that when we go to communicate that, or, you know, that we're launching a drafting team to get this started, the drafting team that might use the PDP for this, we're going to get a lot of interest, and it kind of goes back to the resources required. I think that there's going to be a lot of people that actually do wind up getting involved in this one. Now, I'll leave it at that so we can move on.
Thanks, Barry. Faisal, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess if I recall correctly in our discussion in the RAP, there were a number of people who wanted this not to be best practices, but actual contractual obligations by contracted parties. So I guess I was just wondering whether what we can, whether the, maybe a place where we put like notes or something in this document where we can just kind of note that, or is it something we even bring up at all, or we just let it go? I mean, I think there was like seven people or something that voted for that, but I don't recall right now.
Faisal, I think the place that's pretty well documented is in our final report from the RAP group.
Okay.
And so what I would tend to do is refer people to that report, especially the drafting teams, rather than try and replicate all that here. You know, I mean, one of the things we do have to be careful on here is not refighting all the battles that we fought in the RAP group, because we'll be here a long time if we do. So that'd be my inclination. Okay, so I'm thinking then the only other question that I've got in this particular cell is the question of whether to try and implement this prior to the new GTLD rollout, which I put in there as a question mark because it came from only one person, I think. But I'd like to have a conversation about that. Greg, in some of the stuff that you said, it sounds like this education effort and the ability to deliver it would be a very helpful thing as new GTLDs are getting rolled out, since we're likely to see some new players. Is that a correct interpretation of what you said?
Yes, and as a dependency, I think it's not absolutely necessary, of course, and council is going to have to decide, but I think it's something that should be brought up. It could be really useful after all the discussion about, you know, that particular overarching issue.
Okay, so if I said it would be useful to implement prior to the new GTLD rollout, would that be considered a friendly amendment by whoever proposed that? Let me just look and see if I can figure out who suggested it. Such a good idea.
I had proposed it, Mikey. I'd put that note in. And what you said is fine with me.
Okay. Good deal. All right. So then I think we're done with that row, and I just want to jump back up.
Mikey, Ms. Merga, can I just ask a question?
Sure, go ahead.
Just a question. What is meant with the new GTLD rollout? Maybe it's easier to actually pinpoint, you know, what the group would be aiming for. Is that before, you know, applications start, before approval of the final guidebook, when new GTLDs go in the route? So might, you know, if it's possible to make a more specific point in time as what the implementation is referring to.
That's a good idea. I'm open to any and all ideas. It doesn't seem like we would stand a prayer of getting this done before the guidebook is finalized, but I don't know. Greg, go ahead.
I think you're right. It's not going to have an effect on the guidebook anyway. It's more about implementation and what you do at your registrar registry.
Yeah.
It may have an effect on operations once they get launched, but that might not happen until late 2011 at the earliest. It may have a bearing on how some registry operators do their contracts with registrars and flow through to registrants. So that happens before launches. I don't want to get too specific, though. It would be good to get it done in 2011. How's that sound? given there's still a little uncertainty about the new TLD timeline.
I'm going to put parenthetically, preferably in 2011. So it would read, it would be useful to implement prior to new GTLD rollout, preferably in 2011. Leave it at that, because the timeline is a little foggy after the guidebook gets published. So think we'd want to leave the council a little flexibility here, too. Okay, I want to run back up to the first row. I promise that we will go through subsequent rows faster than these two, but we just happened to pick our two toughest issues first, so that's the breaks. We had dependencies that I skipped for the cyber squatting one. One was a dependency on rights protection mechanisms for new GTLDs being in place, and the other dependency is our item number 5. Buddy, got any thoughts about those two that they'd like to share with us? Item 5 is the GNSO should determine what additional research process may be needed to ensure WHOIS data is accessible. Greg, is yours up from before, or shall I go to Faisal?
Please go ahead.
Okay. Faisal, go ahead.
I think I might have put the dependency on the RPMs largely because we've got the URS that is one of the RPMs, and the thought was, you know, we need to probably take a look at and see how effective the URS would be prior to revamping the UDRP, since they're so synergistic with each other. So I guess that was why I had put the dependency in there, just because I think we just need some time to see how effective the URS is.
Okay, so I'm going to expand this a little bit. Say experience with RPMs in new. GTLDs. And I guess the question for the group then is, if we did that, that's effectively a 2 or 3 year delay, right? I mean, presuming that it takes a while for, you know, we would have to let them run in a new GTLD. Is that what you're implying, Faisal, is that we have a new GTLD operating under the RPMs for a while?
Well, I guess... Yeah, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to get to is, maybe it is a delay, or maybe there's some other way, some other solution we can come to, but to definitely give the RPMs at least some time. I'm not saying 2 years or whatever it is, to be able to evaluate the effectiveness, or maybe there's another solution that we can come up with.
Okay, Greg, go ahead.
Current plan is for those RPMs in the UDRP to run in parallel. And the interactions between URS and UDRP are actually not very well mapped out yet. They have some, you know, some obvious similarities and so forth, but they also are envisioned to exist as separate entities for the foreseeable future. Also, what the RAP working group said is, you know, we've had this mechanism for a long time. We need to understand what worked about it and what didn't. So that suggests, at least to me, that you should go ahead and do that anyway, so you understand some of the history in the background, which is rather extensive. So I think, as Faisal says, there's some relation or interaction between them, but URS is not a reason to stop the process of understanding what's happened with UDRP and its weaknesses or strengths.
Thanks, Greg.
Not an absolute dependency, I think.
Sorry, I didn't mean to step on you, Greg. Did you have more?
No, thanks.
Okay. Anybody else want to weigh in on this? Either way? Faisal, would you be okay if we didn't... I tend to support Greg's view on this. I hate the prospect of putting a giant delay in to this process, given how... enthusiastic the RAP group was about this particular effort. Fred, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the concern that's being expressed by Faisal, and I think I'd probably agree, is that, you know, there are a lot of dials being turned simultaneously, right? So we're about to introduce a major expansion in the domain naming system, and we're about to implement some new programs that essentially are there to deal with cyber squatting. And at the same time, we're talking about actually changing an institution that actually has been effective with dealing with cyber squatting. So I think the concern is you know, when does this, you know, would this become a soup as opposed to, you know, a distinct, you know, set of protection mechanisms? And I think that's a concern that I have. And I think it's what Faisal's expressing, and it's what I've heard from others in the community. And I think that's what why there's a concern about opening this up at this moment.
Well, you know, again, I need to caution us about retracing the steps that we took in the RAP working group. I don't really want to re-debate, because that's effectively what that's becoming, is a re-debate of this.
Well, I think effectively it's actually just talking about the timing of it.
Yeah, but if you're going to delay it 3 years, my proposition would be that's effectively killing it. And I'm cautious about that. Faisal, go ahead.
So what I'm thinking is maybe the drafting team can evaluate that as part of as it together the roadmap. Maybe start looking at that as well, and maybe decides that's not something it wants to tackle. But maybe we can push it to them.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be fine giving giving this to the drafting team as an instruction and saying, when you're drafting your roadmap, you may want to take into account the many moving parts problem that Fred talked about and the lack of experience with the new URS. I'm fine with that, but I'm really hesitant to make it a dependency. Would you be willing to let me move that over into the next steps instructions kind of notes column and say something like that?
I'm in agreement with that. I don't know if Faisal is.
Okay. Faisal, you okay?
I'm fine with that. Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay. Let me do that. Okay, so then the last thing, it's 9:59. Let's see if we can just push through this and get one more thing done, because then we've got these two rows finished. The other dependency that came up was the dependency with item 5, which is the first Whois access. And I don't know who raised that one, but whoever did, could you kind of make your case at this point real quick? Hoping whoever it was is on the call. Mary.
Yeah, thanks, Mikey. I'm not sure if you guys can hear me because I'm kind of on a bad connection.
It's just barely understandable. I think we're okay. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll try. And I was the one who brought up the coordination with the other genus Whois efforts, because as like everybody knows, there's been a lot of discussion over the years on the council about what to do about Whois studies and so forth. And there's been a couple of motions that have been voted on or postponed. So while the RAP rec, I think, is somewhat more specific than the general Whois discussion at the council level, I just think we at least need to acknowledge that there needs to be some kind of coordination, because I honestly couldn't tell you without looking at my notes exactly where we are on council with the different studies and the status of each.
Greg, I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot here. I'm not sure, Mary, that I understand the connection between the who is stuff and the UDRP stuff. Could you bite your way through that terrible connection one more time? And...
Hello?
Ah. Who's there?
Oh, I'm still here.
Oh, good. Mary, are you still with us? Ah, Mary's going to type. Oh, this is going to be too hard. Tell you what, folks. Mary, why don't you, rather than put you on the spot, to try and type what I think is a fairly nuanced argument into chat. Why don't we stop right here, and we'll pick it up again next week. And maybe you can write something to the list that's a little... gives you a little more time to put something together, and we'll just pick it up at this point. I think it's just too hard to fight through that. So, checking with my esteemed co-chair, no objection from Greg. I think we'll wrap it up at this point, and I'm just tickled to death with the progress we've made. I know it feels slow, but I think it's going to speed up a lot now. Faisal, is your hand up again, or is that an old one?
Sorry, that was old.
That's old. Okay. Well, we'll see you next week. Thanks, all. Great call, and have a great week. Bye now.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.
Let's see. Who's our operator today?